Hi, I'm sports journalist Tim Livingston.
And I am Bobby Glanton Smith. This is Westward.
Westward is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network and iHeartRadio.
Episode 9, The Mamba and the Mongoose.
Sunday, January 26th, 2020, John Wayne Airport, Orange County, California. Pilot R. Zaboyan prepared to take a 1991 Sikorsky S-76B helicopter to Camarillo Airport, a small airport not far from Kobe Bryant's Mamba Sports Academy. The helicopter did not have a flight data recorder or a cockpit voice recorder. They're not required. The helicopter is also not equipped with a terrain awareness and warning system, something pilots call TAWS. It's a system designed to prevent unintentional impacts with the ground. On board are 8 passengers and 1 pilot, including Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gianna. The other 6 include 2 of Gianna's teammates and their parents, including John Altobelli, a baseball coach at nearby Orange Coast College.
Echo X-ray advised in VFR condition.
What you are listening to are the actual communications between the aircraft's pilot, R. Zaboyan, and the flight towers that the aircraft came into contact with during its mission to Camarillo Airport. Zaboyan is Kobe Bryant's favorite pilot. Over the past decade, he has worked almost exclusively with the former Lakers star. To work for Kobe Bryant, Zaboyan had to undergo a lengthy vetting process. Kobe dismissed at least 2 other pilots previous to finding Zaboyan. A drive from Kobe Bryant's home in Newport Beach to Mamba Academy would take over 2 hours. By helicopter, it's 30 minutes. At 9:06 a.m., the helicopter departs. Weather conditions in Los Angeles are poor, with limited visibility and thick fog. In fact, the LAPD Air Support Division grounds all of its helicopters. At this time, visibility is 5 miles with a ceiling of 1,300 feet. Zaboyan keeps the helicopter at 800 feet and heads northwest from John Wayne Airport. Typically, Zaboyan would take a route over the Santa Monica Mountains and then follow the Ventura Freeway. However, a deep marine layer has pushed fog from the Pacific Ocean into the mountains. Because of this, Zaboyan detours. He heads east over Boyle Heights and Dodger Stadium, and then follows the route of the Golden State Freeway. Zaboyan updates his route with the Burbank Airport's air traffic controller.
72 Echo X-ray, Burbank Tower, Burbank Altimeter 3019, Burbank Class Charlie, surface area is IFR, stay in tension.
But then, he's asked to hold by air traffic control due to weather.
November 2 Echo X-ray, hold outside Burbank Class Charlie airspace. I have an aircraft going around.
2 Echo X-ray holding.
Zaboyan then goes into a holding pattern.
It's going to be a little bit. I got a citation on a 9-mile final, and then that go around that I just had is going to be turning base to file in about 3 minutes.
Okay, we'll continue holding 2 Echo X-ray.
After holding for over 11 minutes, Zaboyan is cleared to proceed, but told to stay under 2,500 feet of altitude.
Northwest, follow the 5 freeway, maintain special VFR, conditions at or below 2,500.
Zaboyan follows the Golden Gate Freeway northwest as emerges with the 118 freeway and announces his route passing through Van Nuys Airport's controlled airspace.
Van Nuys helicopter 2 Echo X-ray with you for the special VFR transition. We are currently at 1400.
Cleared into Van Nuys Class Delta northeast of Van Nuys along the 118 freeway westbound. Advise when you're in VFR conditions or when you're clear of the Van Nuys Class Delta, transition at or below 2,500 permitting.
So Boeing continues following the 118 freeway before turning north towards the Ventura freeway. Leaving Burbank airspace, he's asked to transition to SoCal airspace control.
Helicopter 2 Echo X-ray approved, and are you transitioning in VFR condition?
VFR condition 1,500 to Echo X-ray.
Helicopter 2 Echo X-ray, thank you. Contact SoCal now 134.2 for flight following 34-2.
SoCal Helicopter 72 Echo X-ray with you transitioning in VFR condition at 1,500 to Camarillo.
Zaboyan then proceeds to his destination, but he's advised to stay low by SoCal control.
Helicopter 72 Echo X-ray SoCal approach, roger, and you're just going to stay down low at that for all the way to Camarillo?
Yes, sir, low altitude, 2 Echo X-ray.
Zaboyan is also warned that because of his altitude and the mountains, he will momentarily lose contact with them.
2 Echo X-ray, roger. I'm going to lose radar and comms with you probably pretty shortly, so you're going to squawk VFR, and when you get closer, go to Camarillo Tower.
Copy that. We'll squawk VFR directly.
Moments later, Zaboyan and SoCal lose contact, and per protocol, the pilot switches his radio frequency to code 1200. At the edge of the San Fernando Valley, the terrain below is mountainous, and a new layer of fog is climbing. But there's been a shift change at SoCal Control. When the new flight controller attempts to contact Zaboyan, he doesn't realize that the pilot has switched radio signals.
SoCal 4 Helicopter 2 Echo X-ray, we're going to go ahead and start our climb to go above the layer, and we can stay with you here.
Zaboyan does not answer.
2 Echo X-ray, where are you? 2 Echo X-ray, ident.
Zaboyan presses the identification button on the aircraft so that the new controller can now see him on his radar. The fog is gaining, and as the ground rises beneath him, Zaboyan climbs 1,000 feet, peaking an altitude of 2,300 feet. 8 seconds later, it begins to descend rapidly. The descent is immediately noticed by flight control.
2 Echo X-ray, what are your intentions?
We're climbing to 4,200.
Though his aircraft was descending, Zaboyan tells flight control he is ascending. In aviation, this is known as spatial disorientation. It would be the last time air control communicated with the pilot. The aircraft reaches a descent rate of 4,000 feet per minute and a ground rate of 160 knots. Moments later, at 9:45 a.m., the aircraft crashes and catches fire.
Very few people realize this, but on that fateful day, January 26, 2020, Kobe Bryant's day started at church.
You know, most Catholics are sort of cultural Catholics. You know, faith is important. It's sometimes in their life. Most of the time, they just go to Mass now and then. But for Kobe Bryant, from what I understand, from people who know him, from people who've looked at his life, faith was really part of his life. He was a practicing Catholic. It was part of what defined him.
That was Father David Guffey, a priest at St. Monica's Catholic Church in Santa Monica, a few miles down the road from where Kobe Bryant attended church in Orange County. For those of us who lived in Los Angeles at the time of Kobe's untimely passing, the city stood still. It was unlike anything many of us had ever experienced.
My wife and I just pulled up to the farmer's market, which is probably the most LA thing you can do on a Sunday. And I remember it being really gray, really overcast. And right when I got out of the car, I got a text from a friend, and it was a link to a TMZ article. And the TMZ article said, Kobe Bryant dead in a helicopter crash. And the whole world stopped.
Breaking news in this Sunday afternoon. Five-time NBA champion, former league MVP.
Kobe Bryant has been killed in a helicopter crash.
News reports are just coming in among multiple victims. Kobe Bryant on that helicopter. We're going to have Ramona Shelburne join us now from Los Angeles. She is.
So we enter the farmer's market and we're the first ones to learn this terrible secret that the universe had just taken Kobe Bryant. And one by one, everyone there, hundreds of people, start getting the news. You just see them pull out their phones, read what I had just read, and whisper to the person next to them, and just watch their jaws drop, one by one. It just didn't seem real, and it still doesn't. My wife started crying. A lot of people started crying. Everyone was silent. It was a dark, dark day, especially looking up into this murky gray, ominous sky and realizing that those were the clouds that took the helicopter down. Those were the clouds that took down Kobe Bryant.
You are listening to Westward on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
It was surreal. Kobe Bryant was gone. It struck me hard. But one of the first things I thought of was, Jerry's going to be crushed. And so I just reached out to him because I knew he was going to be brokenhearted.
I'm sitting at home, it was Sunday, and I get a text from one of my kids saying, "Did you hear this helicopter went go down?" And I said, "Yeah." They said they thought Kobe Bryant was on it. I said, "Oh my God, no." It was really a gloomy day. It was really, really gloomy. And I was just getting ready to work out, but I just got transfixed by watching all this come out, and then all of a sudden to hear that he was gone and not knowing who else was on that helicopter. It just started with me. Going back looking at pictures with him, and particularly with my kids, the time he spent at my house, the memories I have of him.
Most people have always compared Kobe to Michael, but I think Jerry is the person and player he's most similar to. Jerry West came here as an outsider. Kobe Bryant had went to school overseas, lived in Italy, came from Philadelphia. He was an outsider, too. And his desire was just like Jerry's, and that made Kobe beloved in L.A. We spoke with actor George Lopez, a diehard Laker fan and friend of Kobe's, who perfectly captured what Kobe meant to the people of Los Angeles.
Kobe was supposed to be the guy that you saw at the games and that your kids saw at the games and that your dad saw at the games, and then you become a parent and you take your kids to the game. He was supposed to be that guy, you know, and carry us into the future. And it's, man, I mean, I don't even know. It's, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, it's in the All-Star game in Los Angeles. He was playing and he had a good first half.
Bryant's played by Rose, finding space. Oh, what a move by Bryant. Somehow he was able to find the opening.
Nice ball movement. Kobe Bryant on the reverse.
Kobe is putting his first imprint on the game.
Kobe Bryant with a huge first half.
And then I saw Vanessa and I said, how does Kobe feel he's going to play? And he said he's not going to play that much in the second half because he wants to give some other guys a chance. And she said, go talk to him. So I walk over and he's shooting and I said, hey. And he turns around and goes, oh. I go, do not let any motherfucker leave this arena with that MVP trophy if your name isn't on it. Don't let somebody come in here and take that trophy out of LA. You got to win that MVP trophy. He's like, okay. You talk to Vanessa. and he played in the second half.
And Bryant, ahead of the field, LeBron tries to chase down. Came up short. Bryant for three, yes!
All right, I've got a vote in the MVP contest. Can I go ahead and just write it in right now?
Well, what I like right here is the Black Mamba staring down his prey. All right, you want to come get this? I got something for you, King.
He was going to sit for most of the second half. But whether he would have or not, I'm glad that he didn't. And I'm glad that in L.A., in that time, we got to celebrate him with the whole sports world and the whole basketball world watching.
Thank you, Los Angeles, for being a great host city. We saw some spectacular display of basketball, but there can only be one MVP, and he's standing to my left. Kobe Bryant, 37 points, 14 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 assists, and he now has his 4th All-Star MVP, tied for the most in NBA history.
I played golf with Byron Scott like in the beginning of the year, and it was needed to be with like guys that, you know, were friends and had been around him.
He was my rookie before we came to the Lakers because I had him in the orientation in Orlando when the NBA used to do every season for all the rookies. And they would spend a week with a player. So I spent a whole week with him, you know, then. And he called me Mr. Scott every day. And I said, man, quit calling me Mr. Scott, you know. But at that time, he was 18, I was 36. So, you know, he could have been my son, you know what I mean? So we started developing a relationship right there because we knew, he knew and I knew that we were going to be teammates. And I started talking to him about the game and about the NBA. And I was just trying to tell him and enlighten him on what this life is all about and prepare him for what's about to happen. And so I saw it in him at an early age, and I knew the type of work ethic he had. And I also knew when I asked him point blank, what do you want to do in this league? What do you want to accomplish? He said, I want to be the best. And I was like, damn, you're probably going to be pretty damn close to it.
You are listening to Westward on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
He's going to wear number 8. And Kobe, this is for you.
Thank you very much.
And also a hat.
Jerry was with Kobe from the very beginning. Kobe had a difficult relationship with his father, Joe Jellybean Bryant. And much of Kobe's early time in L.A. was spent at Jerry West's home. He became a member of Jerry's family, and in the process, he became like a son to Jerry.
When he came to Los Angeles, my son Ryan used to drive him around, and you know, traffic can be horrible here, and he would come to our house and have dinner. Loved Italian food, and of course, my wife Karen, she's Italian, so he would come over there a lot. But the thing that I used to warn him about all the time, and I said, look, I said, you know, you're going to go out and I said, you play everywhere. And I said, I know where you're playing. People tell me you're down the beach playing. They tell me you're somewhere in the inner city playing games. I said, you've got to be careful where you go, number one. You've got to be careful of the people you're playing against. And no sooner had I said that than the next day, next morning, I get a call. Kobe Bryant has a broken wrist. Playing at Venice Beach. And I said, oh, my God, we're going to training camp just to get him orientated over there. He was sitting around with his cast in his wrist. They'd get up, and he'd be shooting around any way he could. He'd doing everything. It was like you felt like you almost had to tie him to the bench to keep him down. But it was actually – it was kind of cool to watch him because he had this effervescent smile on his face, the enthusiasm of a now 18-year-old young man. But he just loved to play.
Jerry was the first to see what Kobe Bryant could be. And so he did whatever he could to bring him to Los Angeles. And that in itself was quite a feat.
We're trying to get in a position to make a pitch for Shaquille O'Neal as a free agent. And his agent was Leonard Amato at that time, and Leonard and I had been close friends for years. But the problem was is that we couldn't take him unless we got rid of a center because of the amount of money involved. And so tried like crazy to trade Vlade Divac.
The Lakers drafting Kobe Bryant in 1996 was not easy. Kobe Bryant was the prize, and Jerry West played an unparalleled game of front office chess in order to get that prize. The first thing Jerry had to do was convince Vlade Divac to like Charlotte. Vlade loved LA, he didn't want to leave, and he threatened to retire if the trade went through. So Vlade visits Charlotte, the Hornets show him a great time, and he agreed not to retire and play for the Hornets. That was step one. The next step was convincing New Jersey Nets coach John Calipari not to take Kobe Bryant. Arn Tellem, Kobe's agent, and Jerry West devise a plan to convince Calipari to pass on Kobe. Tellem visits the Nets, and Tellem convinces him that building around a high schooler is going to take too long. Calipari needs someone that can contribute right now, right away. And when Tellem left, he told Jerry West that he was unsure whether Calipari was going to pass on Kobe or whether he was going to take him. He just didn't know.
And so we have reached the number 8 pick in the first round, and it's the New Jersey Nets. And we talked about the possibilities for John Calipari here. Would he have the guts to take a kid like Kobe Bryant?
The New Jersey Nets select Kerry Kittles.
So now he's done the hard part. Not only did he nab the crown jewel of the draft, but he also created the cap space to sign Shaquille O'Neal. Now all he had to do was convince Shaq, the biggest star in the league, that he was teaming him up with some high school kid.
I said to him, I said, we drafted a player that I'm telling you is going to be the best player in basketball in 3 or 4 years. I said, he's going to be right there beside your side. His name is Kobe Bryant. And this is not braggadocious, it's just the way it happened. You know, people always want to give you credit where maybe no credit to do. It was impossible not to see what he was. It was absolutely impossible. I'm shocked that he wasn't the number one player in the draft. I'm shocked. And to get him at 13 and get Shaquille O'Neal the same day, that resurrected the future of the Lakers. Just watching him play in the summer league, you know, he needed to take his game and try to put it in a team environment. But he could just go anywhere with the ball. He could get any shot he wanted to get. You could just see this incredible desire to excel.
Kobe Bryant was a Lakers legend for his heart, passion, desire, but also because he was a lifer. He stayed with the organization for 20 years and never donned another jersey. But he was very close to becoming a Clipper. Here's Jerry West telling the story right after Kobe's passing.
I remember when he was going to lead the Lakers, and I've never really mentioned this to anyone. He was going to come and sign with the Clippers, who I'm now involved with as a consultant. And he was mad at everyone at the Lakers, the owner, everyone else. I said, Kobe, you can't go play with the Clippers. You can't play for that owner, period. We had two conversations about it. And he supposedly made a commitment to the Clippers. But there's so many things that we talked about as he was just seeking information. And his parents were with him for a while. And honestly, I felt like his father for 2 years. I don't know if I can get over this. I really don't.
Kobe Bryant as a Clipper almost happened. And can you imagine how different the history of both teams would have been if Kobe had signed with the Clippers? I mean, the Lakers would have been in shambles. Instead, they rebuild and they win two more titles. And the Clippers would have taken the league's best player from their crosstown rival. They would have completely taken all of the Lakers' mojo. And the players that wanted to play in LA, they would have come to the Clippers, not the Lakers, to play with Kobe. It would have transformed the culture of each franchise overnight. But ultimately, that wasn't destined to happen, because Kobe Bryant's destiny always seemed to run through Jerry West.
I think you saw you, a little bit of you in Kobe. I don't know. Did you?
Well, as I say, you know, I was completely different personality. I was more, I didn't like the players I played against. To me, it was more like a war, which is the way Kobe approached the game. And I think that part of him grew on me.
Jerry definitely saw a lot of himself in Kobe. They were both kids when they came to L.A. They approached the game the same way. And they really approached life the same way.
When you go back and look at Jerry's career as a player, you'll see the parallels between him and Kobe. Jerry had less success in terms of championships as a player than Kobe, because Kobe was fortunate enough to have Jerry in his life and to educate him to what it would take to become a champion. And here Jerry is, 83 years old now, still driven to succeed. And in many ways, as long as he lives, Kobe lives. And that's what my takeaway from the experience of knowing Kobe from a distance and knowing Jerry like I knew all of the people that I've cared about throughout the course of my 66 years on this planet.
Tell you a funny story about him. When everything has been so sad, and obviously I've been one who's been personally affected by it because of my admiration for him and how I felt about him and the horrible tragedy for all the families involved. But I remember a story not too long ago. The Lakers were honoring him, and they asked me to come, and I show up, and I walked up to him, and we always exchange chit-chat and gave each other a hug. And I said to him, tell me about this Black Mamba mentality. And he said, the biggest, baddest person there is in the jungle. I said, have you ever heard of mongoose? He said, a mongoose? What the heck is that? I said, the mongoose kicks the Black Mamba's fanny every time that they get into it. I said, the mongoose goes looking for him. He says, not this Black Mamba. And I said to him, I said, well, I was a mongoose when I played. And so we had a big laugh about that.
Kobe Bryant never ends up in Los Angeles without Jerry West. There are plenty of players with Mamba mentality that just don't end up on the right team. Look at Damian Lillard in Portland. Jerry West saw something in Kobe Bryant, took him under his wing, and helped mold the legendary basketball player and the legendary human being. There is no Kobe without Jerry. This episode is in honor of the 9 people killed in the tragic helicopter crash that took Kobe's life. Kobe's daughter Gianna, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, and Alyssa Altobelli. Sarah Chester and Peyton Chester. Christina Mauser and Arza Boyan.
Next week on Westward.
On March 8th, 2020, the Lakers and Clippers would meet for the third time in Los Angeles. And it would be the first time the Lakers would beat the newly constructed Clippers. Despite the loss, the Clippers had been playing their best basketball of the season, winning 7 of their previous 8 games. The team was hoping to build on that momentum into the postseason. But what happened next wouldn't just spoil those plans, it would end them for everyone.
The NBA is suspending the season.
The global pandemic caused by the COVID-19 virus would effectively shut down all aspects of American life and culture, including the NBA's season. Amidst the lockdown, politics of masks, and the marketing of fear and despair, another virus would be revealed. This one, man-made, deadly.
In Minneapolis tonight, tensions are high as 4 police officers have been fired after a man was pinned to the ground and died.
The man, identified as George Floyd, was later pronounced dead at the hospital.
Players across the league embraced the opportunity as a platform for social justice. Joining a fight Jerry West has been as passionate about as the game itself.
I firmly believe today that the world of athletics has done a lot, and particularly basketball, to level the playing field.
But in the middle of both the height of racial tensions and a surge in COVID cases, the NBA approved a bold plan to resume the 2019-2020 season. It would be called the bubble.
Right before the Clippers went down there for this bubble thing, and when the season ended, it was amazing how well we were playing. We were really playing great.
The Clippers would enter the playoffs as the 2 seed right behind the Lakers. It was the highest seed they had ever achieved. The Battle of L.A. was upon us, and an epic conference finals between the two L.A. teams was about to be underway. But something happened on the way to the Western Conference Finals.
Westward is a production of the Dan Patrick Podcast Network, iHeartRadio, and Joy Road Entertainment in association with Workhouse Media and Sugar 23. Executive produced by Paul Anderson and Nick Pinella for Workhouse Media, and by Michael Sugar and Mike Mayo for Sugar 23. Joy Road Entertainment is P.G. Cuccieri, Jim Young, Matthew Hatchett, Tim Livingston, and I'm Bobby Glanton Smith. Produced by K.C. Whalen, edited by Charlie Magdaleno at Whalen Productions. Helicopter audio courtesy of The Flight Channel. Producers would like to thank Father David Guffey, George Lopez, Byron Scott, and of course, the great Jerry West. Westward is narrated by Emmy Award winner Keith David. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening.